church. I have good news for you today. How many want good news? It won't be my news, it'll be God's news. Amen? The life of a pastor. Jenny and Norman are back from Colorado. We've got an answered prayer. Please do not fail to see when God answers a prayer. They flew there and they flew back on an airplane. And here they are, and we prayed, and there they sit. It was 90 degrees all the time they were in Colorado. The day they leave, they get a blizzard. And you know, the blizzard in Colorado, people talk about climate change. Well, Colorado was under an extreme fire warning. Guess what? It's not anymore. Praise God. That's right, praise God. Let's stand up and pray together. Thank you, Lord. Fred and Nancy are in Massachusetts with her sister. Marianne and Jim are not feeling well. Marianne's still going through that, so pray for them this morning. Thank you, Lord. We want to be the beacon. We want to be the light. We want to be the place where people can come for security, coming and knowing that they'll be welcomed and just loved and just be part of the family. We want everybody to feel like family, Lord. That's what we're here for, this house, your house, so your people, your children, Lord. Anything that we can do, Lord, you just help us to find the right words to make people feel that they're loved by you, Lord. It's all about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus in that Bible, Lord. That's what we're standing on. That's what we're banking on. And that's what we trust and believe in. So thank you for this day. Thank you that Madison is with us today, all the way from Tennessee. We love her so much, and she's a blessing to us. Thank you, Lord, for all the things you've done for us that woke us up this morning and got us to church. Now that you got us to church, Lord, I pray that every heart and mind opens up to receive your word on this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. Madison, can you sing later? Evening, Greggy. Did I mention Chipper's here today from Florida? All the way from Florida. Thank you. with us today, Deacon Chuck and Marilyn. They feel better.
Thanks for all your prayers.
Back in bed.
And I tell you that to be on your best behavior, okay? Also, Flo is here today celebrating her 81st birthday.
Happy birthday, Flo.
Other people. Some people in some churches say, we don't like reading, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Well, we don't say that. I say, why? Jim, I say, why? Isn't it the kingdom, the power, and the glory? Why not say it? And I know when I was growing up, it said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How many know that's true? If you read the Bible, that's true, amen? But actually, we say that today, forgive us our trespasses. Trespasses, it's the same thing. Your trespass is a debt. So if you're saying the same thing, why does it matter, amen? We're talking to God. Let's not be legalistic, because it's beautiful, amen? God is beautiful. Say that with me. God is beautiful. Do you believe it? Sometimes, again, do you believe it? Hey, Jim, we got to pass out some stuff we need to have. I've got to get a little shock treatment in all the aisles. They get Marilyn to hook up little wires, and I think, oh, my goodness. Lord, I love putting these sermons. I love talking to God, praying. Said I got the sermon I want to talk about. Get everybody all fired up. Get everybody all excited. Vindicate me, O Lord. Responsive reading. Vindicate me, O Lord, from your bulletin. For I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Yeah, I dare you to tell them that every day. I double dare you. I double dog dare you to say, Lord, examine me today. Oops, oops, not today, Lord. I saw something on TV. Don't be examining me now, Lord. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Or will I go in with the hypocrites, people who say one thing and do another? We see it all the time. We're probably all guilty of that from one time or another. We have favorite friends that we let get away with things that we won't let somebody else get away with. Amen. Oops, Pastor, why are you saying that? Am I telling the truth? You have friends in your life that you let them get away with something you wouldn't let somebody else get away with. Amen? That's hypocrisy. But we don't live it. We just sometimes let it fall on us. Oh, gee. Thank you. Deacon Sergio's back. How's your grandmother? We missed you last week. I have to say Deacon Bill did a great job filling in for you. He was a little slow coming down with the offering. Just a little slow. Hi, Bill. I got friends here, so you can come to church and get picked on. You betcha. If I can't pick on you at church, you're in trouble. Praise God. Okay, the all-important quiz. I have to tell you something. I offered this quiz to Madison during the week. I said, hey, Madison, you want the quiz so you can answer all the right way? She said, yes, please. I want to get all the right answers. Not. Let's see. She did not. A son that sleeps in harvest causes what? A son that sleeps in harvest causes shame. Does it cause hunger or does it cause poverty? A son that sleeps in harvest causes anybody shame? You got anybody hunger? How about poverty? Anybody want to say poverty? Proverbs 10:5, a son that sleeps in harvest causes shame. Shame on everybody else who works hard. Everybody else who's doing the work. What name does Isaiah give to Lucifer in the book of Isaiah? What name does he say? Is Lucifer the great deceiver? Does he call Lucifer Satan? Or do you call Lucifer son of the morning? How many think he calls him the great deceiver? And we got, how about Satan? He calls him Satan. Anybody with the son of the morning? Praise the Lord. His fall from heaven, he was the son of the morning. Lucifer was mighty in heaven. He was beautiful. He was the music minister. You might want to look, that's a pretty interesting thing. You think of how music affects people's souls and spirits? He was the minister of music. He knows how to get to people with music. Y'all have your favorite songs that make you cry when you start singing? Sad songs, happy songs, the songs that make you upset? See, Lucifer knew how to do that. He was a master. He was beautiful. He had all the gold and emeralds. He was
was to set up the morning.
He wanted to be God.
Amen. What instrument did David play? Was it the flute? Did David play the flute, the harp, or the lyre? L-Y-R-E. What instrument did David play? How many things he played the flute? We got the flute. How many in the harp? How many things he played the harp? How many in the lyre? We got the lyre. He was well known. He played at the Painted Pony on Thursday night for dinner. He played on his harp. He was a well-known musician. How many know that he was a musician? There were musicians in the Bible. Yay, Lord. He was the chief musician because he wrote a lot of psalms, right there. He wrote, and how many know that psalms are actually songs? I know you read them and you try to sing them, and then like, just, they don't have any, like, you know, really, you got to kind of change words and stuff to make them right. That was David. He played the harp at the Painted Pony. He was well known. How do you know he didn't? When Jacob was sleeping, dreaming of angels, what does he use for a pillow? According to Genesis. Did he use a rock? Did he use a bag of grain? Or did he use sheepskins? When Jacob was sleeping, dreaming of angels, what does he use for a pillow? How many did he use a rock? You got a rock? How many want to say a bag of grain? Bag of grain. How many want to say sheepskin? Why did you say rock, Gene? Yvonne, why did you say rock? Later, he used a rock as an altar. He slept with his pillow as a rock. Oh yeah, they're high-fiving each other. They didn't get the other three, but they got that one. Now, we got one. He slept on the rock as a pillow, and he used it as an altar. Church, I wish that I wish that I wish that I kept track of all my every day in the woods that I spent and used it as an altar to go back and look at all the wonderful things that I saw, wonderful things I did, wonderful things I did. And I wish that I had that. That's what that rock was for. He built an altar so he would remember where he slept. Abraham built altars, I call them altars of remembrance. It's not in your Bible that way. I call them altars of remembrance. Because when he went back to those places, he saw the altar, remember what God did for him. I wish I kept a journal of every day. And I know Chip hunts and fishes. If he just kept a journal every day, you know, April 3rd, I went fishing. I caught 7 fish. I caught a 5.5 pound up. And then, you know, go back 2 years later, 3 years later, turn a page and say, oh, I remember that. Oh, I remember that. When we're young, we think it's going to last forever. When you're young, you think everything's going to go down on you. You see, he used the rock as an altar. We should do that in our lives. Because let me tell you, I can stand here and tell you this for sure. God has done a lot in your lives that you forgot. Isn't that sad? But he's done a lot in your life that you have forgotten. Can I get an amen? Lord, I ask you to bless the sermon and bless the message. And Lord, I've tried to condense it 3 times to make it shorter. I know it's hot in church, Lord, but I want the message to be heard because this may be the most important message. It's definitely the most important message today that I'm going to speak. Lord, I ask you to have hearts opened up and receive this message today that will change our lives forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Thank you. Anybody, and you listen to the news, I know Jim and I talk a lot. There's been a lot of stuff in the news, amen? A lot of stuff in the news the last couple of weeks, couple of months. People talking about God, talking about the Bible, talking about faith, talking about abortion, a lot of word. You know, how many have heard that about abortion? And people talking about it, and different churches giving different opinions and different ways what they think. Some churches, as Jim said, are afraid to even talk about the subject. We've got to talk about the subject because we have to talk truth. Can you say that word with me? Truth. We're going to talk truth. And when people come to me and I pray about it, I pray about it, I pray about it, and I realize the one truth that you all should hear and the thing you should remember is your salvation is at stake. No matter what I tell you, you can do or you can't do. No matter what I tell you, right or wrong, your salvation is at stake with God. Because someday you're going to meet Him. Someday we're all going to take a journey, each and every one of us, whatever day it is, and I hope it's 50 years from now, 60, 70, 80, 90, whenever that is, you're going to be alone and you're going to be with God. And your salvation will be at stake. Isn't that important enough to say that we have to stand on the truth? Amen? You hear a lot of noise about it and a lot of religions fighting each other about it. And I say, you've got to stop that. I heard somebody say that they're upset because they talk about their faith, the faith that they live, the church that they go to. And somehow that church, that faith, has gotten higher than Jesus. If sometimes you ever meet somebody say about Jesus, you say, would you give up Jesus or your church? They say, well, I give up Jesus before I give up. You know what I'm saying? They put the church ahead of Jesus. You see, that's upside down. Can I get an amen? And I talk to Jim. I love talking to everybody. And we have these wonderful conversations. And Jim, I pray so much. And that's what God told me finally. He said, our salvation is at stake. It doesn't matter what I think or what you think. It's what God says. Amen? Anybody ever see a lighthouse? You ever been to the ocean and you see a lighthouse, right? What's the lighthouse is there? And there it is, every day, right there. Suppose people said, I don't like where that lighthouse is. It messes my view, or I don't like just looking at it. I want to move that lighthouse 500 yards to the left or to the right. So they get it, and they get that lighthouse, and they move it 500 yards to the left. And you start reading about ships going aground, and people dying, and ships crashing into the turf. And I said, what'd you do? Why did you move the lighthouse? Because now people are perishing, amen? Understand? If you're a pilot and you're flying in an airplane and you're by yourself, you have one thing you're looking at, your map. Amen? You got a map. And you see an island and you say, I'm almost out of gas. That island will save my life. I've got to find that island. And you go and you look at it. Somebody moved the island. That sounds funny, right? But somebody decided that they moved the map. They didn't like where it looked like it. And the pilot will die because somebody moved the light. Somebody moved the beacon. Somebody moved the island. That's just like the Word of God. The Word of God is an island. The Word of God is an oasis. It's a truth that never moves. Can I get an amen? The truth never moves. And there's a really, really important reason why the truth will never move. Because we need it to be right where. How many were lost? Anybody ever lost in your life? You didn't know God? You couldn't find God? The only way that you can find God is if He's right where He said He was going to be. Amen? Listen to that. See it this way. The only way for you, Jim, to truly find God is that He has to be right where He said He's going to be. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can find me because I'm right here and the truth doesn't move. I'm the rock. If man finds a way to move God, how many lost are going to say, I couldn't find Him? He wasn't where I thought He was going to be. He wasn't where He said He was going to be. God is the island. God is the beacon. It's the light. The light that shines, comes down. You picture a spotlight on top of a building. You can find that. But if somebody turns it off or moves it, you can't find it. If somebody moves that lighthouse, people are going to die. Why? Because they get lost. People come to church for security. Amen? Can I get an amen? My brother here, I can't even tell you how happy I am to have you here with us today. I'm sorry I didn't get your name, but I just want you to hear that. But having you here today makes my heart happy. Because I'm a pastor, and I got people who don't come every week, and you're here today, so you're stuck with me. So I pray that my message is something that you can say later, hey, that was pretty cool. But you come to church for security. You lock doors in your house at night for security, amen? Because you want to be in a place that you can trust. You want to be in a place, you want to be an island of refuge. You know, the Bible speaks about, I'll be a refuge. He that, you know, lives in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the shadow. Amen? That's God. Do you know how dangerous it would be for everybody in the world? And I'm going to say this over and over again because the message is your salvation is at stake. No matter what lifestyle you're choosing today, listen to me, please. No matter what lifestyle you choose today, it's between you and God. Can I get an amen? No matter what you feel, how you feel, it's between you and God. But I will tell you this, your salvation is at stake. Because I'm going to have to meet him face to face. You're all going to have to meet him face to face. You're all going to have to talk with him and answer to God for what you did. Not for what somebody else did to you, but what you did. Did you love him? Did you tell others about him? Did you read his word? Did you walk in line with God? So your salvation is at stake. See, all of a sudden, we're not judging anybody. Amen? You're judging yourself. There's three scriptures. I want to read them. They're in your Bible, in your bulletin. One of them is, and let me tell you this. I want this for you. I want this for you, please. These are three things that I pray for you. It says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, because you're going to sound just like they sound, because you're falling into a trap. You're falling into a trap where judgment starts happening and all kinds of things, and you start sounding. If you think that person is foolish, do what Michael did with the devil. Say, I rebuke you, and walk away. Don't fight with him. Don't argue with him. The next one is, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Take that home. Write it on your refrigerator. Evil company corrupts good habits. You all got good habits. You're around somebody with evil. It corrupts. That means really bad things. Amen? And I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to get involved in things that are just... You know, we can talk about whether abortion is good or bad, but I told you a couple weeks ago, I choose life. I don't choose choice. Everybody should choose life. First of all, I mean, if you're a human being and you have a heart beating, if somebody has a baby starting in them, you choose life. Now you talk about the situations. That's between you and God. Why? Because your salvation is at stake. And the last one is the most important one. Judge not that you be judged. Listen to that again and take it to heart. Judge not. Don't look at somebody and tell them what they ought to do, because then you just put yourself in a place where you can be judged. And not only by God, by people, but by God. And I don't know about you, but I got no time for God judging me. I'm worried. Every single day I wake up and say, Lord, forgive me for my iniquities. Lord, forgive me. Help me. I love you. So those three scriptures are powerful. Amen? Because your salvation is at stake. Lord, let him hear it. The light cannot move. The island cannot move. The beacon must never move. God's love, God's word, God's truth. It's more than our foundation. Like I heard somebody say this week that they talked about their religion. They talked about the denomination of their religion. And they said, this is who I am. And I said, that's wonderful. But what about Jesus? It's more than our foundation. It is. Isn't that strange, two words? Did you hear? It is. Simply, Jesus is our foundation. Can I have an amen? What did God say in Exodus? I love this. What did he say? Listen to what he said. Matter of fact, he said, I am who I am. Hallelujah. Thank you. God said, I am who I am. You're not going to move me. You're not going to change me. You can't persuade me. No matter your lifestyle, and I say this again, because we all are welcome. This is God's house. So no matter your lifestyle, whether you believe God or not, good or bad, there will be a day when you need to decide, and you'll be alone when you do it. Lord, I've made mistakes. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I forsake you. Some people say, Lord, I never knew you. Some people will say, no one ever told me, Lord. They never told me. And then they start, somebody will say, God, they told me you changed your mind. Somebody will say, they told me, Lord, that you allow such choices now. They told me you could never leave me, Lord. And somebody would say, Lord, they told me you didn't exist. I say, where are you, Lord? He will say, here I am. He will say to us, I've never moved.
I've never changed. I am who I am.
Then you say, forgive me, Lord, a sinner. They told me of your compassion to save the lost. And that moment you'll say, I thank you, Lord, no one can change you. I was lost and now I'm found. My salvation is at stake. If you're not in line with the Word of God, you're living your life and you're not in line with the Word of God, your salvation is at, say that with me, salvation is at stake. Understand the depth of that, okay? Now we're talking serious. We're talking right to the end. Your salvation, if you're not in line, you live in light or darkness. And with God or without God, some people try to say, what is hell like? The easiest way for anybody to describe hell is without light. No God. That's hell. No warmth, no love, no compassion. Isn't that hell? Doesn't that sound like hell? So your life with God or without God? Light or darkness? We all have to work out our own salvation. I'm sorry that's true, but you have to work it out. If one does not believe, then he has his reward here on earth. Understand what I'm saying? If people don't believe God, believe in God, believe the Bible, then they have the reward here. All the riches they get, all the good things they get, however they get, that's it. That's their reward. One has no need for God, does not believe, does not care to believe. How many think that's hard to imagine? But we know what happens. Can I get an amen? How many know that that happens? You see it every day. People say there's no God, right? They say the most abominable things. They say hate about the Word of God, about Jesus. Oh, he's some guy that died. And the most abominable things they say about our Lord. I don't get mad at them. I don't get mad at them. I don't yell at them. I pray for them because their salvation is at stake. If they don't care, that's well and good, but I care. I want to give them the truth because the truth never moves. The truth doesn't have to move because the truth is security. Someday they may look for the beacon and he will be there because he is who he says he is. How many know that the world is full of hate? Some because of religions. Isn't that true? Some people hate each other because of religions. Some people because of beliefs. Hate against anyone who is or does not believe as they do. Anybody ever seen that? You don't believe like I do, I hate you. That's in the world today. We call on people here and we call on people around here to love one another. Anybody ever heard that? Oh, you need to love one another. Well, that's great. Give peace a chance. Anybody ever hear that? Give peace a chance. Amen. Hallelujah. Sounds good. Only we're speaking to the choir, as they say. Because in many places on earth, evil is rampant. Hate for their neighbors, for anyone who dares to disagree. You got to open up your, just read a little bit and see what kind of hate is in the world. It's like preaching to the choir here because that's why they come here, because there's hope here. Some kind of person lives 2,000 miles away and journeys through everywhere he can get to come here, not looking for hate, looking for a chance, because there's hope here. Because there's hate on the earth far beyond what you think you see. You just got to open your eyes to people living in little poverty, living close to one another, hating each other, hating them who they are, hating them, wanting them to die. That's today in the world. Power and greed. Freedom for women. How many know that some countries, women, y'all don't have freedom? Y'all look beautiful today, ladies. Y'all look beautiful today. But you go to some countries, you all be crucified. You all be, your face is showing, your head's showing, your legs are showing. I see your hair. I'm telling the truth. Can everybody get the truth? You see, that's not like that here. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Some places, hate is rampant. For women, no right. You can't vote. Women vote. Are you kidding me? You can't even go to school in some places. That's why they come here. Truth, salvation is at stake. We must stand on the Word, the foundation. It must remain. John Lennon was a great songwriter. Anybody ever hear him? He wrote a beautiful song. People fell in love with it. I heard it the other day on the Beatles channel, Greg, called Imagine. But you preach it to the choir here. There's other places in the world you got to take that song and hope that they'll let you sing it, because it's not like that. See, it's nice to be able to imagine all that good stuff because we have love around here. We have love and compassion. We might not think it, we might not see it, but it's there. People really love each other. They love their grandmother. They love their father, their brothers, their cousins. Somehow there's a wall between loving your neighbor, but it's still there. Somebody gets hurt and you see somebody else doing something great, amen? And everybody cheers about that. That's what your heart wants to see. Good thing. Somebody I saw the other day, car got caught in the flood. This guy almost killed himself in the flood, getting in the water, getting on trees, and climbing over trees and broke the back window of the pickup truck and pulled the guy. He didn't know who the guy was in the pickup truck, but he broke the back window and he pulled out and saved the life right after he got out the truck, sunk in the water. People celebrate that. He didn't care who the man was or the woman was. That's why they come. If you find it hate in your heart, you just say, Lord, remove it. Thank you, Lord. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The word must remain the same. The world will hate it, but salvation is at stake. The cross, the Bible says, is foolishness to those who do not believe. Somebody who doesn't believe and looks at the cross, they think it's nonsense. And I want to say this again. Any lifestyle you live, it's between you and God, not man, not man's approval, not my approval for sure. You don't need my approval. I'm a pastor. I'm preaching the word. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the Bible. You don't need my approval. It's just you and God. Because your salvation is at stake. Truth never changes. That's what makes truth so beautiful. The truth, the life, and the way. No matter your lifestyle, your choices matter. So you say, do they line up with the word of God? Question mark. Here's another one. Do you even care if they do? Question mark. Amen. I said again, there's a journey we will all take alone someday, some moment. We will all have to think about that truth. Hallelujah. Our faith, our beliefs, our Bible hold the most beautiful of promises. The most loving and compassionate Father in heaven, and his Son who gave us salvation for tomorrow. No law, no bomb, no threat, nothing can change that truth. Like an island in the sea, it waits for anybody lost. And I want to say this too, because I think this is important. If nothing else was important, this is important. Funny how Pastor thinks, right? I want to tell you this. God will not be mocked. Can I have an amen? God will not be mocked. Changing God's word puts many people at risk. Jim, understand that. This is its power. Changing God's word puts everybody at risk. Oh, God will understand. It's like being in a boat without a paddle, no anchor, no direction. Oh, God will understand. Sadly, it's not just those who so arrogantly, and I like that word right there, arrogantly change God's word that will suffer. Sadly, those who follow the blind, lack of knowledge, will suffer. When you say, help me, Lord, bring in his healing. Love will cover a multitude of sin, but first, you must call on God ready to receive and ready to repent. Can I have an amen? Somebody told me you changed your mind. Then they told me you allowed such choices. Then they told me you could never leave me. And then they told me you didn't even exist. But he will say, I am here. Because that beacon, that lighthouse, can never move. Because those who are lost, just like we were lost one day, and now we are found, we gave our hearts to Jesus. Those who are lost, and there's millions of people who are lost looking for that beacon. That's why the word of God can never, nor will it ever, nor will God ever. Will God ever change the word, because he understands he is who he is. persuade him to change his word, because the truth is, we need that word to be right where it is, because the lost have a need, a place to go. That beacon, that lighthouse has to be right where it is, so when the lost come to him and say, "Forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. They told me of your compassion to save the lost." And he said, "I thank you, Lord, no one can change you. I was lost, and now I'm found." No matter what lifestyle, your salvation is at stake. Give him praise that he loves you so much. You're all lighthouses. You're all beacons. Remember when they brought them flashlights in, that tiny little one, the bigger one, depending on how much bright you want to be, like Lily. Lily's got Chip back in church again. There she is again, saving souls. Hallelujah. No, it's you. Lily invites every friend of hers to come to church. Why y'all do that? Praise the Lord. Read those scripture readings today that Marilyn and I put in a bulletin. Read them over and read them again and just see them. Don't argue with people. Remember the story of Michael when he went to get Moses' bones and Satan met him there. They take Moses' bones. Michael could have said a lot of things to Satan. Amen? Michael could have called him every name you can think of. And Michael just said, "I rebuke you." He didn't argue with the fool because he would end up selling. When you argue with a fool, you're using the fool's discussion. When you're around evil people and it corrupts you, the only person it's going to affect is you, because they're already where they are. If they're angry and you weren't angry and then you leave, they're angry, who won? You didn't win. So why argue with a fool? And judge not. Don't say one word to your brother or sister until you remove the plank out of your own eye. If anybody here is perfect, God bless you, you're in the wrong place. If you're not perfect, then keep the judgments between you and God, because your salvation is at stake. We have Jesus. We don't have the congregational church. We don't have the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the Jehovah's Witness Church. We don't have all those beautiful places where Scientology churches, whatever church you belong to, that's wonderful. I'm glad you belong to a church. I hope you show up and you tithe really well. We don't need that. We have Jesus. What he did on that cross, no church did it, he did it. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, and said, "This is my body being torn for you." And all he says to you guys is, "Eat and do this in remembrance of him," in Jesus' name. You don't have to cook. You don't have to set the table. Just eat. In remembrance of what he did. You got people in your life that did you a favor. They call you up and remind you of the favor. "Hey, remember what I did? Remember what I did?" No. Jesus doesn't do that. He says, "I love you. I did it because I love you. Just remember that I did it for you. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities, the words that we use, the attitudes that we have, the vulgarity that we might speak, the things that we think that we know are not in line with the word. Anything, Lord, that separates us from you, forgive us." But the thing with that forgiveness comes, we need to repent. So our responsibility now is to ask for forgiveness and repent. So we're going to do the best that we can with our hearts, Lord. Mainly because we know our salvation is at stake. We know love covers a multitude of sin, Lord. We're going to train ourselves to love more, to give more. When we give, it is giving back. If I give somebody kindness and I give somebody a smile and he smiled back at me, I gained a friend. I gained somebody who I can trust, somebody I can talk to. If I argue with somebody, I've lost a friend. If I say something that hurts somebody, I've lost a friend. If I say something that lifts somebody up, I've gained a friend. I'm learning, Lord. I'm learning that, Lord. So thank you for this day. Forgive us for our iniquities, Lord. As he poured the wine into a cup, said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Do this and drink it in remembrance of him." In Jesus' name. Do not enter a fool according to his father, lest you cross. Be my king. I don't want anybody in this church to be that person. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. I want you to understand that. You see people that say hateful things, or people who don't agree with the word of God, let them be. Pray for them.
Love them. Be kind to them. Don't appease them. Anybody who's easily offended is impossible to appease. Remember that. Anybody who is so easily offended by something is so impossible to appease. Just pray for them. Lift them up to God. If they were, just best love. And judge not, that you may not be judged. Your salvation is at stake. That's what church should be preaching today. Not the nonsense of what you're going to accept and what we're not going to accept, what we're going to change, what we're not going to change. Oh, we accept that, you can do that, you can live this, you can say that. No. If you're not in line with God's word and you want to be, you know how to do it. You know what to look for. If you're not in line with God's word and you don't care, then we pray for you. For something else in your life, because the rewards of today aren't enough. Someday you're going to meet Him face to face, whatever your faith, whatever your belief. That day will come. And I just want you to know He loves you. And you have time today to receive that salvation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Can we give Him praise in this house this morning? There's hate in the world, but there's not hate in this church. People come against one another, but I pray not in this church. We love Jesus. He is our rock, our salvation. He is the light. He is our everything. Our all in all, as the psalm would say. In your heart. Keep Him there. Let Him work on the heart. Let Him work on the heart and you work on the brain. Thank you, Lord, for all that you bless us with. Thank you for this nation, Lord, even though there's things that aren't perfect. Hallelujah, Lord. We know we're not perfect. You don't have perfect people in this nation. No one of us are perfect, so nobody's perfect. The nation can't be perfect, but we're trying every day. Because our salvation is at stake. Lifting each other up. Holding each other up. But making sure, Lord, that that lighthouse never moves. That your light never moves. That your word never changes. Because the lost need to know when to go when they want to find you. That's the key to everything. That that light be right there when the lost come. And it's our responsibility to be that light, to be that strength, to be that right there, waiting for the lost. In Jesus' name I pray. Be healed today, church. Let your hearts be healed, your mind be healed. Be healed today of worry and anxiety. Whatever coming against you, Lord, I pray off of them. I rebuke it, Lord. Whatever financial needs you have this week, Lord, I pray that they'll find it, Lord. Whatever they're feeling, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will heal it. You will heal their lands, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name for everybody who came here this morning, who woke up and had a choice to make and they chose you. Lord, I ask you to bless them. Bless their car. Bless their travel. Bless whatever they say and do, Lord. And let them see it. Let them feel it. They can't doubt it. And they have to come here and say, Pastor, even though I disagree with you, I got to praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. And Lord, we're simply going to ask you to bless the United States of America, knowing, Lord, knowing that if you bless this land, all people will receive the blessing, no matter what lifestyle, no matter whether they believe or not are, because that's the God you are. You bless this nation. They will all receive it, Lord, but we're asking you to bless this country and keep us safe. In the precious name of Jesus.
Bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white ripples.